and welcome to another episode of the Burt's Books podcast. Sally!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Surprisingly chipper after last night.
Are you hungover?
A little bit. Absolutely not.
We had our fifth birthday party.
Your fifth birthday. We just helped you celebrate.
Well, so suppose. So, Burt's
One
Books,
of your birthdays.
One of my birthdays. I have three a year. Like the Queen.
Oh, better than the
Plus
Queen.
Plus one.
You're so much more than the Queen.
So much more than the Queen. No, so we Burt'sBooks.co.uk turned 5 years old in, on the 19th.
And how does that feel?
Feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's not been that long at all. But also, it means that if Burt's is 5 years old, it's been 4 years since lockdown.
Yes. Yes.
And that doesn't feel that far away either.
No,
but also,
it doesn't.
But also, it feels so long ago.
It feels a very long time ago and just yesterday, really.
Yeah,
it's weird, isn't it?
Time is weird.
Mm.
There you go.
But 5 years, well done.
I could write a Doctor Who script. Time is weird.
You could.
So, 5 years. We've been doing the website.
Strength to strength.
Well, we're still selling books.
That's
so
the main thing.
That's the good thing. That's the important bit. That's the bit we like to talk about.
Yeah.
So, speaking of books, we are going to talk about some.
That's a good idea.
Yes. So, I'm going to talk about Other Women by Emma Flint.
Okay.
Sorry, Sally, you're not the only woman in my life.
No, I find that hard to believe. No, I've met your niece. I know I'm not.
Then Michael and I will be talking about a book that you have also read. So, The Last Murder at the End of the World.
Very good.
By Stuart Turton. So, we will... Maybe you and I can pick up on that and share your thoughts after we've done the other part.
That sounds like a plan.
Does that sound like a good plan?
Sounds like a good plan.
Good. Let's get on with it. Both of those books coming up on the other side of this music. Other Women by Emma Flint.
Uh-huh.
This has been on my TBR pile for a while.
Right.
We were going to have Emma Flint come to the bookshop last year. We were going to have her and Julie Owen Moylan, but for reasons we had to cancel the event.
And then
it just didn't fall quite right, and so we haven't properly rescheduled.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I'd like to get Emma Flint back in.
Yes, yeah.
But I had planned to read this before the event. But I didn't. I read it recently. It's just come out in paperback, actually.
Okay.
So let me read you the blurb.
Please do, I'm intrigued.
London, 1923. Like so many single women after the Great War, Beatrice Cade, a 37-year-old typist, is holding tight to her small scrap of independence and trying to build a life for herself. When charismatic visiting salesman Tom Ryan directs his attention at her, Bea falls hard for him. But Ryan is married with a child, and his wife Kate has worked to create a seemingly happy domestic life. When Bea is found dead, and Tom Ryan is in the frame for her murder, it looks like Kate will do anything to protect her family.
Wow,
that
sounds very intriguing.
Yeah, so it's told in a dual narrative,
right?
Split timeline. So you've got Beatrice in 1920, well, it's sort of end of 1922, beginning of 23,
right,
talking about her job as a typist and getting to know Tom Ryan. And he seems quite nice, but she's aware from the start that he's married.
Oh, okay. Oh, that surprises me. I didn't think you were going to say that.
Yeah, so he's aware, but she falls for him. They start off as friends.
Yeah.
In air quotes,
yes,
like they,
yeah.
He's very like he comes into the office and can you arrange a meeting for me with so and so?
Okay.
And yes, of course I'll do that. And she's obviously quite got a little bit of a crush on him.
Okay.
And it's sort of a bit like, not in the way that life is now, but this is 100 years ago, and Beatrice is approaching 40. She's single. She's living in a women's club, so she's not...
Oh.
She's living with other women,
yes,
almost like a dormitory type situation. Her sister is happily married, and they don't really get on because they're very different. And I think Beatrice is probably a bit lonely. And
sounds like she could
She's got sort of the pressure of not having a husband.
Yes, and sort at that age, her. In those times, yeah. was frowned upon, really.
Yeah, and actually she's not even... I mean, it sort of talks about the Great War. I guess she would have been 27, roughly, when the war started.
Okay.
So already at that point, it's not like she's come... 100 years ago... she would have probably been expected to be married or be marrying by that point.
Oh, definitely.
So it's not like the war has stolen her from her.
No.
A pool of men.
No.
There were a pool of men. It just never happened for her. But she's probably still feeling that expectation of what she should be doing.
Yeah.
And you feel that in the book. There is a little bit of a... Oh, like from the other women in the office that she works with. She can feel their judgment on her...
I'm assuming they're married or...
No, they're younger.
Oh, they're younger.
So
right,
they're sort of getting all excited because so-and-so's getting engaged.
Yes,
and
okay. And I imagine she's looked upon as a bit of an old spinster.
A little bit.
She's only 40?
Yeah, not even 40.
Not even 40.
Yeah, so there is a bit of that. Then you have Kate's point of view. And this is after Beatrice's death. After B has died.
Right.
We don't know what happened.
Okay.
We just know that Tom has been arrested.
Right.
And it seems there's something, the thing that they sort of stumbled upon was him checking out a trunk from the lost luggage section at a railway station.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say any more than that about that trunk.
No, okay. That trunk, whatever it is.
But what's quite interesting is, you obviously feel for Beatrice.
Yeah.
And you feel... But you do feel for Kate as well. Because she's in this relationship. It comes clear that Tom has not... It's not the first time he's been with another woman.
Okay, he's a door-to-door salesman.
Exactly.
He goes with the territory, doesn't
he? It does. So I'm told.
I would assume.
So I'm told. It's an interesting book because your sort of loyalties are a bit, who am I on the side with? And all the way through as well, you're wanting a twist. You're wanting Beatrice to be alive. And it's unclear right until the end whether that's going to happen because you don't find out exactly what happened to her. Until the end.
Right, okay. So you do find out what happened.
You do find out.
And do you find out who did it?
You do.
Okay.
And
so it's all nicely finished.
It's all tied up. Yeah. And actually, I mean, Tom is on trial. So during these bits, during the Kate sections, Tom is on trial.
Okay.
And she's sitting in the courtroom. And there's gossiping women all around her. Because it was much more than it was now, but it was a public spectacle course then.
Yes,
it was entertainment.
Of course,
And you, there were people sort of barking, and it was a big case in the papers. And what I found interesting was I read the acknowledgements afterwards.
Ah, interesting.
And it was based on a real life case.
Was it?
Yeah. And there's something that Tom says in the trial. He's given a chance to say something by the judge. And he says this really sort of, but he says this thing, and it's based on this real case, and the person in the, actually I can say this. He says, I feel too conscious of the bitterness and unfairness of your summing up to say anything except that I am not guilty of murder. And that was said in the real case. So she's taken that from that. It's great. Book, you've got a bit of a mystery pulling you through. And it does make you think about these other women. You've got young women. I think it says right at the beginning in the prologue. There's two types of women. There's the young girls who are sort of trying to find somebody, the wives who are married, and then besides them, there was a third type of woman, less visible and less noticed, and neither one thing nor another. These women were misses without youth, middle-aged without wedding rings. B was one of these other women.
Oh,
so that's how did these women cope in this situation? And even though she's dead or presumed dead by us, the reader, during the trial scenes. There's so much judgment laid on her by women, by journalists, by the judge, by the lawyers, by Tom, by Kate. And it's quite an interesting look at how they looked at some women in those times. Yes. And I actually think it's one of those things that's probably changed for the better. Sometimes you read things and you think, oh God, we're still a bit like that. I don't think we're like that anymore.
Absolutely not.
No.
I was about to say, it's really shows these days how being nearly 40 and single wouldn't be an issue. Nobody would bat an eyelid. You'd have your own home, you'd work in, you'd la la la. It's entirely up to you if you want to get married, have children. It's not expected anymore. Society no longer puts pressure on anybody, and that can only be a good thing.
Now, famously, we know that I don't have an age. I am ageless.
You are ageless, as am I.
In fact, actually, somebody rang up earlier and was talking about a book that they wanted to order, and they were asking a couple of questions. And they said, oh, and because they follow us on Twitter, and can I just check who I'm talking to? Because I know all your names. It's just been nice to know who I'm talking to. And I said, oh, it's Bert. And she went, oh, you, I thought you'd be older than this. And I was like, well, I don't know how old I sound right now. But it was an interesting, interesting moment. Yeah. But anyway, I don't have an age.
No.
I'm ageless.
Yes, you are. Absolutely.
And but if I did have an age, I'd probably be a bit like B. Approaching 40.
Yeah.
I'm single, unmarried.
Yeah.
I'm not a woman.
No.
So I don't have the same sort of, because I think there maybe is still a bit of a stigma against some women.
Do you think so? What makes you say that?
I don't know if it's stigma, but I do feel that some of my friends who are single,
who are women and are straight,
if they're in their 30s, they sort of get looked at and go, so when are you having a baby? Are you not going to get married and have children?
Well, I'll tell that person that's absolutely none of your business.
I still think people get asked that. We need to speak to little Sally, find out if she...
We do. Well, she's waking up next week, isn't she, for the Easter holidays?
Oh, of course.
So get your people to talk to her people.
We'll ask that question and see if she gets that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I it's nothing that...
No.
But then I don't think men ever did.
No. No, and I don't know.
No. So it'd be interesting to see whether that still...
I would just like to think that it's not.
No. I know what you mean.
You've got friends who are saying they feel some
pressure.
It's
not that they sort of, if they're single, they're not really judged for having a career or owning their own home. But they do every now and then get, wouldn't you like to have a child though? It's never asked of me. It's never been asked of me.
No.
Never are you going to settle down? Are you going to...
That's unfair then, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's...
it still happens a bit. These other women still exist.
Okay.
So it'd be interesting, like I say, to find out. But I think it's nowhere near what it was.
No, definitely nowhere near what it was.
So that is Other Women by Emma Flint. A really interesting read and does make you think. It keeps you turning the page as well.
Because
you need to find out
that's good.
Exactly what happened.
I like
to
the sound of that.
Guess what?
What?
It's available to order at bertsbooks.co.uk.
No way.
Which is 5 years old, by the way.
5 years old. Happy birthday.
It's time for my favourite part of the week, and that is, of course, the bestseller charts. It is where we find out what the best-selling books across the country are, but, perhaps more importantly, what the best-selling books in Swindon are. So we will first of all start with the country, and we use Nielsen BookScan's Total Consumer Market to work this out. So they get all the information across all the bookshops, W.H. Smith, Waterstones, all the little indies as well, and they combine it all together to come up with a top 10. We've still got some of the World Book Day books sort of coming through. Just a reminder, I do strip those out because they are essentially given away. It's not a reflection of what people are choosing to spend their hard-earned money on. We start at number 10 with Betrayal by Leslie Pierce. That's down 7 places from last week. At number 9, a massive increase suddenly for Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros. That's the hardback sequel to Fourth Wing, which is coming out in paperback this week. So perhaps that's why that's suddenly seen a surge in popularity. At number 8, down 6 places from last week, it's Death in the Parish. That's the second Richard Coles book. At 7, up 5 places, There's a Little Chick in Your Book by Tom Fletcher. So we're starting to get in towards Easter. Bluey, hooray, it's Easter, is at number 6, up 5 places. Up 1 place to number 5, it's The Housemaid by Frieda McFadden. Up 4 places, our final Easter book of the week, We're Going on an Egg Hunt by Martha Mumford. At number 3, new in, it's Anne Cleves and Raging Storm. At number 2, down 1 place from last week, None of This is True by Lisa Jewell, which means we've got a brand new number 1, and that is Lee Child and Andrew Child with the 28th Jack Reacher book, The Secret. One Day, no longer hanging around the top 10, so I think that one sort of had its moment. Although, looking at it, if you sum up the numbers of the two editions, it would be in number 5. So, still quite popular, that one. We go on to the Burt's Books top 5. This is odd. Sometimes you get some very odd things, but 2 weeks ago, we had Richard Osman reappear in the chart. Then last week he sold absolutely no books at all, and then this week he's back in the top 5 with The Thursday Murder Club by, obviously, Richard Osman. At number 4, third week in a row in the top 5 for In Memoriam by Alice Wynne. A new release at number 3, it's Old Babes in the Wood by Margaret Atwood. Number 2 is Rainbowsaurus by Steve Anthony, still doing really well in the shop. And at number 1, it's Every Move You Make by C.L. Taylor. And if you are one of the people who listens to this podcast as soon as it's published, you will know that I'm a bit late with the podcast this week. And that is because we've had such a busy weekend. We had Callie Taylor in the shop on Saturday signing and dedicating books for people who have ordered them online, people who came into the shop on Saturday. And then yesterday on Sunday, we had Adele Parks in the shop. But either side of Adele Parks' lovely, lovely event, I was also packing up Callie Taylor's books ready to be dispatched to everybody this week. So I had a bit of a late Sunday, but doing fun things. So Callie Taylor at number 1 this week. The week starts on a Sunday. I don't know if you know that, but the week starts on a Sunday. So the Adele Parks event on Sunday, those books will be coming into the next week's top pillar, top five. So that will likely be on the top spot, I think, unless something extraordinary happens with another book coming this week. So if you want to see, though, what else is in the top 5, do come back to the Burt's Books podcast next week. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a test. So the point of us recording these in advance is so that they're still fresh in our head when we talk about them, but that they that the listener doesn't have to wait 6 months for it to come out.
Yes.
Yes. Now, the problem we've got is we're about to talk about one that comes out in March.
Yes.
It's currently not March.
No.
But we both read it a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think I read it end of November.
Yeah. So, I thought it was even further ago than that.
Maybe.
I thought it was like October.
You read it before me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I'd read it after you. No. Okay, maybe that was it then. Should we tell them what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's The Last Murder at the End of the World by Stuart Turton. So we're both big Stuart Turton fans. Like, we always recommend The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle. God, you have to check.
Yeah,
it's not Evelyn Hugo, it's not Husbands. Also The Devil in the Dark Water.
Yes. That one's your favourite one. Remember the title.
Well, so, yeah, so of the two of them, I always preferred Devil in the Dark Water.
And I prefer Evelyn Hardcastle.
And you preferred Evelyn Hardcastle. And the reason I did that was because I felt that he made the landing on the ending better in Devil in the Dark Water. I love the concept of Evelyn Hardcastle, but I didn't quite... I didn't quite get it at the time in terms of the ending. I thought it was rushed. We recently reread it as part of book club.
Yes, you did.
And actually, I thought it, on a second read, and several years later, I had a new appreciation for it. And I think actually the ending was better than I thought, than I remembered. But I did say, we're going off on a complete side note here, but I did say to somebody that I still don't really understand why it's called The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, because she only died actually once, or she only died a couple of times, as viewed by the reader. And then somebody pointed out to me, yeah, but there are seven deaths caused by Evelyn Hardcastle.
Yes, indeed.
And I thought, oh, that's clever.
It's very good.
Very clever. Hadn't even occurred to me.
He's a clever man.
So we were very excited.
Yes.
To A, discover that he was bringing out a new one. Don't do that noise. That was weird.
It was a gasp.
That was almost like a sexual
it
growl.
It wasn't meant to be a sexual growl.
He's got a new one, and then we got a proof copy of it. Mm. Shall I read the blurb so that people can know what it's about? And to remind ourselves.
Did we say the title?
Oh, it's The Last Murder at the End of the World. I think I did.
I think we did, but never mind.
We said it again.
Yeah.
Outside the island, there is nothing. The world destroyed by a fog that swept the planet, killing anyone it touched. On the island, it is idyllic. 122 villagers and 3 scientists living in peaceful harmony. The villagers are content to fish, farm and feast, to obey their nightly curfew, to do what they're told by the scientists. Until, to the horror of the islanders, one of their beloved scientists is found brutally stabbed to death, and they learn the murder has triggered a lowering of the security system around the island, the only thing that was keeping the fog at bay. If the murder isn't solved within 107 hours, the fog will smother the island and everyone on it. But the security system has also wiped everyone's memories of exactly what happened the night before. Convenient. Which means that someone on the island is a murderer, and they don't even know it.
Ooh. I forgot how good that was.
Now, I already will say that in the very first line of the blurb, it says, outside the island there is nothing. The world destroyed by a fog that swept the planet, killing anyone it touched. You don't really learn that in the book. It's implied.
Yeah.
So actually, that's quite a useful thing to know going into it. Because you know I don't read blurbs. So I didn't really know that.
No.
It's a very clever murder mystery, is what this one is.
Which is his specialty, isn't it?
Which is
it,
his specialty.
Yes.
And, but it gives you this sort of, this world that, again, very sort of, like, so Evelyn Hardcastle was this mansion in the 20s and 30s, whatever it was. Devil in the Dark Water was all on a boat.
Yes.
He creates basically locked room mysteries where nobody can get in or out. And just says, right, here's your people, here's the murder, what happened?
Throw
the dice, what came of it? But I think in this instance, for me, I still really, really liked it. I'm going to put that out there. It's still going to be one of my favourite books of this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But it isn't quite as good as his previous books.
I am going to come with you on that as well. I'm going to say if his 3 novels are all very, very finely decorated cakes, this is the least good cake, but it's still a cake.
It's still a cake. I don't rate books, but like, we're not talking 1's an 8, 1's a 9, 1's a 10. We're talking 1's a 9, 1's a 9.1, and 1's a 9.2.
Yes, that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're exactly. Still very good. The only thing about this one is because you're introduced to this world that you don't know.
Mm.
You know what a mansion in the 1920s, 30s looks like. Even if you've never been to one, you've seen Downton Abbey, you've seen Gosford Park. You know what it's like to be on a boat. Even if you've not been on one, because you've seen it.
Yes, exactly.
This is a completely new world.
Yeah.
You know what an island is, but the people that are there, you don't really know anything about them.
No, and it's the thing that I said before about Red Side Story, is that you are introduced to this world, and normally you are the if you're one character, would be explaining things to you or seeing it through their world. Whereas in this case, they've all been there. There's no one to explain it to. They don't need to sort of know this. So you just pick up what's happening as it goes on. And it has a very unique narrator as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, in fact, it's told by a couple of people, isn't it? Is it not?
No.
Have I completely?
Unless I'm remembering it wrong as well.
Oh, we'll have to.
I think it's one narrator.
Oh. I think we're going to have to discuss. I think this might be a spoiler plot point.
This is what Stuart Turton does to you.
So we're going to have to discuss that off air.
Yes.
What you do know is that the scientists are different to the villagers.
Yes.
The villagers are in some way enamoured, enraptured.
Yes.
By the scientists. They are quite almost in love, indebted to them. We don't really know.
It's almost a godlike status, yes, aren't they? Yeah, it's very strange.
So you, and because you get no description, all you know is that the scientists are taller than them.
Mm.
So you assume, or I assumed, that this was a secluded island, one of the last forgotten tribes or something.
Yeah, yeah.
The scientists ended up there and protected them. Yes. Maybe they were studying them. We don't know. But then you learn more as it goes on.
Yes.
And you think, oh, he's a clever man.
Yes.
But because we don't really know this world, the reason why I didn't, I would put this at the worst, least good of the three,
yeah,
is because it feels a bit more cartoonish.
Yes, it's definitely a slightly more cartoonish element to it, because it's... is it fair to say this is the first time we're going into the future, really?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's called Ultimately the End of the World. It's the end of the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... We're not talking 1,000 years in the future.
No. It's not far off.
The scientists are recognisably people from our world.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think there are references to our world as well, aren't there?
But they are referenced as being quite a lot older than you would expect.
Yes, that's also true. But as ever with these things, you sort of get something, again, with Red Tide Story, something has happened.
Yeah, but a thing has happened.
But not entirely sure what it is. What I really liked as well, particularly at it, is this element of there is a murder mystery, but everyone's memories have been wiped as well. That's so interesting to kind of go, okay, right, we're all at the same base now.
Yeah.
Because why would that happen?
Yeah.
It's obviously not something that normally happens.
But that, I mean, that it's a clever trick and it feels a bit convenient, but actually there's an AI system,
yes,
that is on the island, and it's talking in everybody's heads.
Yes.
And so so we know that they're all connected to this system somehow, scientists and villagers alike.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's this AI system that has deleted their memories.
Yeah.
And we don't know why. We don't know who told it to.
Yes, well, I think with AI, a lot of people have this, we had this discussion the other day about robots and things, isn't it? That with AI, you tell it to do something. So in this case, perhaps it's been told, protect everyone on this island.
And it feels this is a way to protect it.
It will do whatever it can to do that, regardless of what the actual consequences are to that. Like you were saying the other day, they put AI, trained it to go, how do we stop train crashes? And the AI said, well, stop running trains.
Stop running the trains. And that's an interesting one as well. You just said, protect everyone on this island,
yes,
right? Okay, so there's 150 people on this island. I'm going to protect it.
Yeah.
There's a boat, I don't know, pirate boat coming with cannons, and it's firing cannons.
Yeah.
So it sinks the boat.
Yes.
But what if one of those pirates then makes it off the boat onto the island? There's now 151 people on the island, but your goal is to protect everyone on the island, but one of them's trying to kill everyone on the island. What does the AI do? Because
yes,
it can't
true.
Kill the one that's on the island, because
yes,
it goes against its programming.
Yes. No pirate ship arrives in this book.
No, right? I'm just getting into a quagmire, an AI quagmire now. It's a few different ideas in this that I really like. I think it's very well written.
Yeah.
I love the ending.
Yes.
I like the explanation.
Yes.
I didn't get confused by it.
I'm trying to think how it ended now. Yes. It's a very neat ending. And one of those endings as well where you get to it and you go, of course.
Yeah.
It couldn't have gone any other way.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful when that happens as well.
Yeah.
It's like there's not anything left hanging.
Guess what?
What?
It's available to purchase at birdsbooks.co.uk.
Lovely.
So that is it for this week. We've talked about other women.
Yeah.
We've talked about last murder at the end of the world. Now, I like to normally try and do it so that there is me talking about a book and somebody else telling me about a book.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone back and listened to Last Murder at the End of the World, but I think that might be... I mean, it was me and Michael talking about it. We've both read it, but I think it might have been me talking about it. But it might not have been. It might have been Michael.
Okay.
But you've read it as well.
I have read it. I've read it a while ago.
Yeah. Well, I recorded that with Michael a while ago, and I can't remember what we said.
I can't remember much about the book other than I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And there was one character in it who was gorgeous. And let me remind you, she was very tall, lizard, with very long claws, and they'd covered the metal stairs so she didn't catch her claws. Was that in that one?
No, you're thinking of Long Way to a Small Angry Planet.
Oh, was it in that one?
Yes.
So this one hasn't got a gorgeous lizard in
no.
it? No. In that case, this one's I can't remember one of, much about
Last
it
Last Murder at the End of the World is a Stuart Turton one. It's murder mystery. It's set on an island.
Yes, with the fox.
You're the fog.
The fog. The mist coming in. Yes. Yeah, right, okay, I was in the wrong book.
You were completely in the wrong book.
But that
then.
Was good.
I was like, was there a lizard?
Was there a lizard? A gorgeous lizard?
I mean, well, there was a gorgeous lizard yes, in that gorgeous. Other one, yeah.
Yes, this one is the fog coming. They work to keep the fog at bay.
Yes, yeah.
And it's poisonous?
Yes.
Yes.
And it sort of destroyed the whole world
That's
apart from
it.
Them. Yes.
That's it.
So, As you can quite clearly remember so much about
oh,
it. Did
so
you enjoy
much.
It?
Yes, I did enjoy
yes,
it.
That's good.
Yes, I did enjoy it. And I...
But you've read The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have.
Which I know you liked.
Yes, I did like, but I had to lie down afterwards because
yes.
it was so busy.
Have you read Devil in the Dark Water?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so what did you think of Last Murder at the End of the World? Better than... As good as, not quite as good as.
I would suggest it was slower.
Yeah.
Not as busy, not yeah. so much going on. I think I liked it more.
Oh, okay.
And from memory, I think Michael liked Seven Deaths more.
Yeah.
And what was your opinion?
Well, I, at the time, had not reread Evelyn Hardcastle, I don't think. And my view was Devil in the Dark Water was always my favourite of those two.
Right.
For me, I think, having reread Evelyn Hardcastle, I appreciated it more. We did it in book club and there was a really good discussion
okay.
about it. And actually,
yeah.
I kind of understood the ending a bit more.
Right.
Having reread it. This one, I think, for me, was slightly less than the other two. But we're quibbling. It's still very, very good.
I'd agree with you, yes.
But
it's very, very good.
It was almost because the other two, I could see, the other two were historical. Even though Evelyn Hardcastle ended up perhaps not being,
yes.
and being slightly
yes.
fantastical,
yes.
it was set in an old country house.
Yes.
It was things
yes,
that
it
we
was,
knew.
Yeah.
Devil in the Dark Water is completely historical, set on a boat in the 19th century.
Okay.
Whereas this was futuristic, and yeah. there were a race of people who were not human-like.
Yes.
And it felt in my head a bit cartoonish.
Oh, okay.
I think because I had trouble picturing, because everything, the other two were set in so real worlds that I'd had experience of,
yeah.
or watched films of.
That's really interesting.
So whereas this, I was completely having to make up.
We've talked about this before. I'm not very fantasy.
Hmm.
I'm not a heavy reader on fantasy. But I liked this one.
Yeah. Well, because
it was
the fantasy was sort of incidental.
Yes.
Because it was mostly a murder mystery.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
yeah. It was.
Anyway, we've talked about this with Michael.
Oh,
you haven't.
No, I haven't. No.
I might be.
I've mentioned it to him after I've read it. And
I might be repeating myself.
Little discussion.
Might be
well,
repeating myself.
I don't think anyone listens.
No, nobody listens
You're
to this.
You're repeating yourself. I'm talking about the wrong book.
Yeah.
Not edited.
So, but if there is anybody out there, hello.
Hello.
You can hello. Email us, bert@bertsbooks.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of those places at Bert's Books. You can also, those are the places to go if you want to tell us about the books that you've read, the books that you want us to read, the books that you're excited about, the books that you would like to purchase.
Yes.
So, after all, that's why we're here.
Yes.
So do find us on all of those things. Get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. So when I did that last week, Rach said that I was pulling a funny face like I was on a TV show.
Oh, did you?
And I was like pointing at it, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Which I hadn't realised I was doing.
Yeah, that's very good. Yes, that's very good.
And now I've amused
it all the time.
Now I've amused myself as I'm thinking about
yes.
it.
Yeah.
So I think we're done.
Okay.
Are you anything else you want to tell us? Anything else to share
no,
with the group?
No, I enjoy Rach. I enjoyed your podcast very much. Thank you for that. And hope she does another one.
Oh, good. There you go, Rach. Invited back.
Invited back.
Say goodbye, Sally.
Goodbye, Sally.